And I'm Mary Angus, and the person that you want to invite over for lemonade and cookies and to chat about your garden is here, Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary. Yes, I've had that happen. Oh, just come over for a little lunch, and oh, I've got a few gardening questions.
Well, Charlie, we need to know more about the easiest perennial to grow, but the one that still has some variety and color. What do you have for suggestions there?
Well, I've got a classic one. It's the daylily. Daylilies are a pretty diverse plant, and there's some new ones out there that are really worth taking a look at. We see the orange tawny daylilies by the roadside. We see the lemon daylily, which is one of the first ones to bloom. A lot of old-fashioned varieties that are out there. But the nice thing about daylilies is there's a lot of variety in the flower shapes and colors and formations. So you get fragrant varieties like Hyperion. You get double daylily flowers, like a double charm, spider-shaped flowers like a pink spider, and then recurved ones that have curved petals that fold back on themselves, like Garden Show. The ones I really like are the reblooming ones that will bloom a couple times a year. Now, the old classic ones are ones like Joan Senior and Pardon Me and Stelladora, of course, is the classic of all of those that are blooming. But there's a new generation of these rebloomers that are really nice because they have stronger stems, they have more flower buds, they have bigger flowers on them, and they flower longer and they come back sooner. And some of those varieties are Happy Returns, April Sprinkles, and my favorite name, Going Bananas. So try some of these new varieties out. What's nice about all of them and why I grow a little patch of orange tawny ones in our garden is that they are edible. Now, of course, you want to make sure you're getting the Hemerocallis, not the Lilium lily. Those are toxic. The Hemerocallis daylilies are edible. The flower is edible. The bud is really nice chopped up in a salad. And you can even eat the roots. Full sun is great. And they don't have a lot of pests, except deer seem to like the buds too. So try some of these new daylilies. They might be a lot of fun.
Let's answer a couple of questions. This one's from Tim, and Tim actually sent in a message for us here. Let's give it a listen.
I bought Charlie's book, and I'm really confused about using the seeds from plants. You just put them on the dirt in the fall or whatever. But usually in the spring, he says put 6 inches of compost on top. And I thought if I would put 6 inches of compost on top of a bed that I had sprinkled seeds on, that would be too much compost because you usually don't plant lettuce seeds in that much compost.
Well, Tim, that's a great question. So if you are doing a no-dig system and you're putting compost on the bed every spring, what about those self-sowing vegetables that you like to have popping up, like the arugulas, the lettuces, nasturtiums, things like that? First of all, a lot of those self-sowing vegetables will pop up long before you're ready to put compost on the bed. That's been my experience. So you're going to know where they are, and you can move them around if that's the case. Open up that bed so you can put some inches of compost on it. In fact, you only need a couple inches. You don't need to be doing 6 inches of compost every year in a no-dig system. The other thing you could do, of course, is let those self-sown vegetables grow up, harvest them, and then when you're doing your succession planting, you're moving it to your next crop, that's when you'd put down the compost to really rejuvenate that bed. So there's a couple ways around it.
Okay, this next one comes in from Alden in Heartland, and Alden writes, "Dear Charlie, in a recent episode, you talked about geraniums creating a good mat that can crowd out weeds. We have very large, very healthy patches of poison ivy across our property that we would love to eradicate. Would these geraniums do that, or are there other better ways to get rid of the ivy?"
Well, they won't get rid of them, no. The perennial geraniums are nice for grasses and some of the annual weeds, not for something that's a woody weed like the poison ivy. Poison ivy is a native plant, has great berries for the birds, by the way. But if you have it in an area where you're trying to garden, and especially if you have it and you're allergic to it, you're probably going to want to try to get rid of it. If you are allergic to it, do not do it yourself. Hire somebody or get some friends or family to come in and do it. If you're not that allergic to it, put a long sleeve shirt and pants on, boots on, gloves on, and go in there and dig it out. That's probably the best way to get rid of it. And then when you're done doing that, wash everything because that chemical can get onto the clothes and then spread to you. The same thing if you try to mow it down. You have to be really careful not to be touching the mower or string trimmer afterwards because you can get some of that chemical on your skin and, of course, cause all those rashes that happen. So those are probably the easiest or the best ways to get rid of it. If it's really a bad patch of it in an area where you're going to be doing a lot of gardening or walking through, you can use herbicides. I tend not to recommend those, but there are some foam herbicides. You can cut the stump and then put it on the top of that stump and then cover it over to protect it away from animals and insects, and that will translocate and kill the roots. But again, it's not something I highly recommend. Once you get rid of it, then you can bring in some native plants, some gray dogwoods, for example, something that'll spread, cover that area, and hopefully the poison ivy won't come back.
If you have questions about your garden, send them to Charlie at gardening@vermontpublic.org. And you can always listen to this wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.